This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for the Outdoorsman Radio Show with your host, Alan Ellis. Good morning, everybody. Alan Ellis here, and this is a beautiful mid-September day. We are here today with Eric Zlokovic. Did I say that right?
Slokovitz, yeah.
Slokovitz.
Yeah.
Slokovitz. Okay.
Yeah, you're close.
I've only been trying to get it right for, you know, 5 or 6 years. But what's your title with the Fishing and Boating Service, Eric?
I'm the Recreational Fisheries Outreach Coordinator.
You're the guy for our show today, because we're going to talk about recreational fishing.
Sounds good.
In the fall, here in the middle of September, it's coming up on probably the best time to fish. You know, The weather's starting to cool off a little bit. Water temperature's starting to cool down a little bit. The oxygen level's starting to rise. Salinity's starting to rise, you know, unless we get a deluge of rain. But,
correct.
You know, it from here on out for the next couple months, it's going to be good. But we're still kind of in summer mode.
Right.
On the bay.
Right.
So,
that's right.
We've talked about this in the past about the warning for fishing for striped bass, and I don't know who was responsible for that, but it's a good idea to let people know that you know, there are times when you can stress out a fish and lead to the demise. So you want to explain a little bit about the genesis of that system and where it came from, and you know how it works and all that on the striped bass. What do you call it?
Well, I call it the striped bass heat advisory.
The heat advisory, yeah.
Because I think that's sort of a catchy title, and people remember that. We technically call it the striped bass fishing advisory forecast, but it's really a heat advisory for fishing for rockfish. There's sort of three colors, you know, three flags that we go under. The red days are the days when the air temperature is 95 degrees or above. And we're probably not going to get too much of that in September, but we could still get a couple of days like that. And on days like that, we're advising people to switch to another species other than rockfish after 10 a.m. Because at that point, you know, even if you're just catch and release fishing with artificial lures and you're doing everything right, or you're chumming, you know, chumming or live lining, everybody's going to be still chumming and live lining probably until the end of September, early October. You know, you are stressing out those fish, even if they're only lip hooked. And if you release a fish at these really high water temperatures and high air temperatures, there's a good chance of mortality. So we're trying
to...
Fish is going to die, right?
Belly up.
That's right, belly up. And then they'll be floating down tide, downstream from your boat or down the bay.
Right.
So,
and we've all seen floaters.
Yeah, we've seen a lot of floaters, and we're trying to cut down on the floaters. So after 10 a.m. on a really hot day, try switching over to bottom fishing. You know, try for some catfish. We've had some good channel catfish action. Blue cats are now coming up the bay more. So, you know, just switch to another species and give the fish a rest. The yellow days are 90 to 95 degrees. That's sort of a caution flag. You know, still just use extreme care when handling the fish. The green days are anything below 90 degrees, and hopefully we'll be getting more of those, you know, through the month of September. I feel if the air temperature is below 90 degrees and the water temperatures are starting to cool, then you're in better shape for releasing rockfish.
So basically it's the stoplight. Red,
right.
Red, you know, you got to stop.
Exactly.
Yellow is caution and green is go for it.
Right. We just figured that this, you know, red, yellow, green was kind of easy to remember.
Yeah, universal.
Yeah.
Yeah, universal. Yeah, yeah. You don't want to do today's an aqua day and tomorrow may be a purple day.
No, right.
Red, green and yellow works just fine.
That's right.
So.
Yeah, and we do have it posted on the DNR Fisheries website. And we do it, we do a 7-day forecast, and we post it every Wednesday, which is the same day that we post the online fishing report.
On the fishing report.
Yeah, sure. So you get like a week outlook there.
Yeah.
A 7-day outlook.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, if you've got a charter trip planned, or you've got a, you know, you got a recreational trip planned out there and you want to go fishing, you're going to go, man, it's 95 degrees. I don't want to fish past 10 o'clock anyway.
Right, I know.
On a 95 degree day, you know?
Yeah. That's...
I want to be done. I want to be on my way back, or if I'm going to stay out there, first of all, I want a bimini top.
Exactly.
And I want a broad-brimmed hat and sunscreen.
Right.
You know, and I want my sunglasses. But I really don't want to be out there that long.
Right.
Catch a few perch, catch a few whatever, catfish, and you know, call it a day.
Right.
Because it's not good for you. That heavy-duty sunshine is not good for you. So, and, of course, we can get into all the dangers of, you know, skin cancer and that type of thing for people that spend a lot of time outdoors. And, you know, I've been checked. I've had the precancerous cells frozen off my face, you know.
Right. Got
another one coming up here shortly. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we gotta take care of ourselves so we can continue our lifestyle. But the early warning system is great. Have you got a lot of response to it? Have you got comments on it? Have you heard, you know, being out and about from the recreational anglers? Do they like it? Do they like that idea?
So actually we get a lot of different feedback, as you might imagine, in my line of work. On this, we've actually gotten mostly positive feedback.
Mm-hmm.
People support it. They like the term advisory. It's not a regulation. It's more of a guideline. I've actually done a tour of some of the major tackle shops here in the Upper Bay, Baltimore, Pasadena area. Also, I've been down through Annapolis, Kent Island. These are all the areas that support this big fishery, live lining and chumming around the Bay Bridge. So I've hit a lot of the major tackle shops and fishing license centers.
Sure.
And I'm getting pretty good feedback. And then I'm slowly working my way down more into southern Maryland, because eventually the fish are going to start moving a little bit south. So I'm trying to communicate it down to the southern lower Bay.
Sure. Well, this radio show is a good way to transmit it to a lot of people at the same time.
Right.
You know, they don't have to walk into a tackle shop. They hear it right here.
There you go.
And they hopefully it clicks in their brain and they click on the DNR website, the fishing section of the DNR website, and there's the fishing report every Wednesday.
Exactly.
And they can plan their day, plan their week. So,
right. Yeah. That's right.
Exactly. So let's talk about striped bass a little bit. People are just banging that Bay Bridge. And, you know, we hear there's no fish above the Bay Bridge, basically, you know, and that they're focused there on those pilings, a little bit in Eastern Bay, a little bit in Love Point. And, you know, I'm guessing it's probably an oxygen thing.
Yeah, it's, you know, the situation in that part of the bay is the water is a little bit cooler. You have a little bit of mixing and turbulence around the pilings, which the rockfish like.
Because of the tidal flow.
Yeah, because of the tidal flow.
And the structure.
Yeah, and the structure. You have a really strong outgoing tide in particular, because the water's coming out of the Patapsco. It's coming out of the Magathy right there, just above Sandy Point. So you have a strong ebb flow. You know, ebb tide, outgoing water, a lot of turbulence, mixing, that gives you better oxygen.
Yep.
And you have cooler water coming down from the Susquehanna, too.
Right, right.
So it's a good mix. And so, yeah, the fish have been pretty hard on the structure at the pilings, a little bit on the sewer pipe, too.
Right.
Which is just a rock and concrete structure just north of the Bay Bridge.
Right.
They're lining up there, too. There has been some action at the Love Point rock pile, or the old lighthouse.
Mm-hmm.
Which is similar structure. It actually helps if the fish spread out a little bit. Otherwise, you have a real crowding situation.
Sure.
Combat fishing.
Yeah,
right?
Combat fishing.
It's
right.
Combat fishing.
Yeah, like when I was a kid, the first day of trout season on a public trout stream, shoulder to shoulder, you know.
Yeah.
What are you doing walking down the middle of the street?
Right.
I'm fishing. You're standing on my bait.
Yeah, don't cast over my line.
Right, exactly,
So we have guys that are getting into position early in the pre-dawn hours trying to get their favorite spot.
Sure.
But it helps if the fish do disperse a little bit. You know, that varies from day to day. Some days the Love Point, you know, lighthouse and the northern area there is you know, okay, some days you just have to be around the Bay Bridge. Right. So,
We had Mike Malpezzi on a couple of weeks ago. And he was talking about the structure that they're dropping at Love Point. So hopefully that's causing some kind of turbulence with the tidal flow as well, the way he told me the structure's lined up there, you know, and the fish are stacking in there and, you know, hopefully the bait fish are there and, you know, that type of thing. So that might be. That might be another option, you know, to locate that debris field.
Right.
Or those debris fields up there, Love Point, and fish on that.
So. Right. If you just check your nautical chart, we've been trying for several years now to develop that reef in the southeast corner. You'll see a square artificial reef site on the nautical chart off Love Point. And we've been placing material there for several years now. So yeah, we're trying to simulate that same effect that you get at the Bay Bridge, and it's a cross-tide reef from east to west, and you know you can theoretically anchor just above that debris and then fish, you know, chum or drop down a live bait or even jig. It depends on the day.
Yeah.
I've heard all three methods work. So
We were at Taylor's Island a couple of weeks ago, mid-August. And a guy came into the campground down there. We were visiting the campground, and he said, "I had to quit fishing." He said, "We caught so many Spanish mackerel."
Wow.
He said, "And they're great." I said, "I'll take a couple fillets." He goes, "I'll give you a couple fish. You can fillet them." I said, "Yeah, I really don't have any place to put them in the car right now, but I'm, you know, one of those deals." So, anyway, we'll talk.
They're good eating. Yeah, we should talk about those.
Yeah, he was getting ready to smoke them. So, yeah, let's talk about that here in a minute, because they'll be around for a little while longer.
Yeah,
they'll be around at least the end of September.
Yeah, we have the high salinity and good temperatures right now.
Exactly. Well, we'll talk about that in a minute, but the first choice for Eastern Shore hunters and anglers is Chesapeake Outdoors. Now, this is bow season. Bow season opened last week, and they carry all the compound bows and crossbows that anybody could need, want, or imagine. They carry the Matthews line of compound bows, including the new Vertex, the Mission crossbow, same basic company, but they have the Mission Sub 1XR ready to go, rigged up for you. The Raven, the most popular crossbow going right now, the R26 and the R29. And the Hoyt bows are all on clearance. Yep, there's a whole rack of Hoyt bows there that you can get for a very good price. And, of course, they carry the 10-point and the Excalibur and the Carbon Express and the Barnett crossbows as well. Custom arrows and bow tuning, and all the accessories fit for your bow, and my buddy Pete Morris will put those on for you and tune your bow and give you some good tips on how to shoot better. But they also have the muzzle loaders, which is right around the corner from Thompson Center and CVA, a Remington Shine Shop of shotguns, all the ammo, camouflage apparel for all seasons, Costa sunglasses, Yeti coolers, Rambo electric bikes, a large selection of waterfowl calls, dove gear, ammo, decoys, buckets, chairs, all Chesapeake Outdoors, exit 39B, Dominion Road, right there in Kent Island in Chester, Maryland. That's exit 39B off Route 50. On Kent Island, Maryland, it's Chesapeake Outdoors, 410-604-2500, and we'll be right back after this. Alan Ellis here for Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie spray-on bedliners. Linex spray-on bedliners rated number one, carry nationwide lifetime warranty. Linex spray-on bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust in your bed. Your tools, your tackle, your crabbing and hunting gear can't hurt your truck bed. Choose the Linex premium bedliner or the Linex Extra. Both look great. And Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex now offer truck gear, the toughest accessories for your truck, step bars, tonneau covers, floor liners, grill guards, you get it. Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex at Glen Burnie provide the best protection for your truck. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex spray-on bedliner, truck gear, and accessories. Catonsville Linex, new location, 2076 Lord Baltimore Drive in Windsor Mill, just off Security Boulevard across from Coons Ford, 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, located at 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. Call 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. Linex.
W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg is taking care of my trucks for over 25 years. Anything from a simple oil change to extensive engine work, brakes, tune-ups, everything, their motto is, we do it. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles. Large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Look for the big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410. W&W Tire and Auto.
Sean and Frank.
Michelle Malkin.
I have never shied away from calling out both sides. And that's one important thing to understand about the immigration chaos that we've been living under, is that it couldn't happen if it was just the far left that was doing it. So many of these Republicans in Washington who were sent to protect American workers and American voters and American citizens and law-abiding legal immigrants have sold out.
Now we understand what President Trump really is up against here.
Weekdays 5 to 9 a.m. on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
This time next week, I'll be sick in bed with West Nile virus, thanks to a mosquito bite right in front of my house.
In 8 minutes, my daughter will be in an ambulance, having an asthma attack, triggered by cockroaches.
I'm going to be bitten by a tick today. I won't even know it until Lyme disease turns my life upside down.
Learn how to protect your family at pestworld.org. A public service message from the National Pest Management Association and the CDC.
And now more from Alan Ellis and the Outdoorsman Radio Show on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
You know, I like that. I like that music on the pre-recorded shows. What's his name? Ira. Moron Ira. He picks up some really good music from time. Yeah. All right. Cool. We're here with Eric Slokovic at, he's the recreational outreach guy, and you've been talking about touring all the Slokovitz.
There you go.
Z on the end. Slokovitz. Yeah. I'll get it eventually.
Yeah.
I'll get it eventually. So we were talking, when we left before the break about, Spanish mackerel.
Correct.
And, you know, we've seen him in the bay during late summer, early fall from time to time. Mm-hmm. And I talked about the guy, you know, and he said, man, I'm going to put those on my smoker and I'm going to give some to my buddy and he's going to put them on his smoker. So I'm guessing Spanish mackerel smoked is probably pretty good.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they're an oily kind of fish, I guess.
Right.
What mackerel are. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, I've eaten king mackerel. I've never eaten Spanish that I can remember, but I understand they're pretty dang good eating.
They're excellent eating. They're, as you say, they're a little bit gamey, but that the oils in the mackerel actually make them really good for smoking.
Yeah.
And the key thing is you want to eat them fresh, not frozen. Frozen, not so good. So either fresh or smoked, and that's one of those fish you got to keep them on ice. You know, try to bleed them even before you put them in the cooler.
Right.
You know, you can do that real quick before you put them in the cooler.
How do you bleed a fish?
Well, you know, the traditional way is just cutting the throat underneath the gills. That'll usually get some blood going. Some people will make a little slice down near the tail.
Mm-hmm.
People, you know, that used to be a thing with the offshore tuna guys. They would bleed everything. But now, even with the more inshore species, like Spanish mackerel, blues, rockfish even, more people are bleeding them because it just, you get a higher quality meat out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, these mackerel, I mean, you know, mid-September is a great time for mackerel fishing, you know, trolling spoons. The expert trollers have their favorite patterns, but it's basically these little drone Huntington Clark spoons, you know.
Silver or gold.
Yeah, silver or gold.
Yeah.
You know, people have favorite colors depending on the color of the water.
Sometimes a little bucktail on the back of them, a little piece of bucktail or something.
Sometimes a little bucktail. I've also seen just with the little red bead on some of the old school spoons, trolling spoons. You know, high speed,
What is high speed?
Well, high speed is like 5-6 knots.
That's
pretty high speed.
Rockfish are two and a half.
And then like blues are in between like 3-4 maybe.
Right.
So those lures are up pretty high in the water column. You do want to have like a inline trolling weight to keep them down a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, you put out several flashy spoons and maybe a couple of hoses. we used to call them surge tubes or surgical tubes, which is really what it is.
Yeah.
And in Bay Country here, we just kind of call them hoses.
Right.
The bright green is good for blues and the occasional mackerel and sometimes cobia, which we see in the lower bay. The red, I think they call it rock hall red.
Rock hall red.
That's
the candy apple red.
The
clear red, yeah.
Rock hall red, something about those red hoses, that they catch rockfish during the summer and fall, you know, on some of those slow days when they're not really cooperating and they're not really biting.
The hoses to simulate an eel.
Correct.
Okay,
right.
So the red, you know, red is the first color to lose light,
right.
And it turns black, basically,
right.
In water, you know?
Yeah.
And the deeper it goes, the darker it gets, even darker than black, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that could be something that triggers, who knows? Fish. You know?
That makes sense, because it tends to work well in the upper bay, which is where you find eels, too.
Exactly.
So,
and, you know, because my brain is about 12 times the size of the rockfish,
right.
We tend to overthink
We're
it.
Overthinking.
It's a fish, you know, it's going to eat something, and we put something in its face that's going to eat, then they're going to eat it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not hard to
don't
figure out.
Don't overanalyze
fish,
it.
Right,
yeah.
Right. Yeah, I had a guy. I only fish for brook trout, and I only shoot upland birds. I said, so you really don't want to go deer hunting or big game hunting because the brain is a little bit larger than that of a walnut? And he got insulted.
Oh, man.
Oh, yeah.
He had some thin skin, I guess.
No, apparently he was a little thin skin, but that's all right.
But, yeah, you know, with this trolling, this September trolling, it's fun. But also, remember, keep some casting rods handy, because more and more of these mackerel are now being caught by guys casting metal lures. The old school gotcha plugs are kind of a famous mackerel lure.
Yeah.
They started down in the Outer Banks and they kind of worked their way north here.
Right. Gotcha plug is a little slant face plug. Usually about the first quarter of it is bright orange or red.
Right.
And the rest of it's white. It's got, I believe,
two treble hooks.
Two treble hooks and kind of a scooped out face with the eye on, kind of on top between the eyes.
Correct. It's a metal cylinder.
Gotcha.
I mean, that's a great mackerel lure. It's a great bluefish lure. Just a note of caution, if you're into an area where there's also rockfish schooling and breaking on the surface, you might want to switch to a gotcha plug with single hooks.
Right.
You know, rig a few of them with single hooks because it's easier to release rockfish, obviously, with single hooks. The treble hooks will do some damage to rockfish. So just keep that in mind if you're out there casting on breaking fish. You know, you're going to have all three species, rockfish, mackerel, and blues. And you know, maybe a few trout underneath. We used to do that a lot.
Yeah.
On the trout underneath the breaking fish.
Yeah.
So,
if the fish are, I always like fishing. If we're fishing for rockfish, I'm breaking rockfish and we're throwing, you know, quarter ounce jigs, half ounce
correct.
Jigs.
Yeah.
Okay. Put a 3/4 ounce or an ounce jig on there because those bigger fish are underneath.
They are,
you know.
That's
and if
right.
you can get that big bait past those little fish on top,
right.
You might wind up with a much better fish because those fish are basically chopping bait fish in half,
right?
You know, and they can't eat them all, and some of those shreds and remnants are going down through the school,
right?
You know, and once it's below them, they're not looking down to get a bait, but the ones on the bottom are looking up.
Yeah, that's right.
So you know, I just. School thought, you know, because my brain's so big.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a few of those lazier, you know, bigger. I'm not 25 years old anymore. I'm getting older, so I can relate to those big, lazy rockfish. They're laying, you know,
they're just
harder on the bottom.
Yeah, just waiting for something to come down.
Something to come down, and they don't want to chase it too much. So, that works. You bounce a bass assassin or some kind of leadhead jig down near the bottom. You get those larger fish out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And even the old bucktail and Mr. Twister works.
Still
too.
Works great.
I always carry that stuff too.
Hey, a Johnson spoon. Pork grind all still works.
Pork
well,
grind,
you know?
Yeah, definitely.
So's a daredevil. Yeah. So's a jitterbug. They all work great.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So,
yeah, don't Don't get rid of all the classic lures. You got to carry some of that too in your box. Yeah. So this, you know, this area that you're talking about, Taylor's Island, is great for that summer, you know, fishing mackerel and all these other
species. Right across from Calvert Cliff.
Yeah.
I mean, you know,
right.
that from that area down.
From there south, right. Yep. That's a good reference point. You want from there down to Hooper Straits or Solomon's, the
yep.
Cedar Point rips are famous.
Yep.
And then all from there down through St. Mary's County and Point Lookout. That's the sweet spot. That's the zone for the mackerel and all these other species. And the last couple of years,
Boy 56, the Target
yeah,
Ship,
the Target
53.
Ship.
There's, I mean, there's
the
yeah.
Southwest Middle Grounds yeah. or just the Middle Grounds.
Middle Grounds, yep.
Yeah.
All that.
That's some really, some well-known, you know, fishing areas down there that attracts bait fish and then all the predatory fish.
Exactly.
So, yeah, and Red Drum, you know, Red Drum have been in the mix down there. So you just have to kind of carry both trolling and casting rods and be ready for anything, really.
Yes, exactly. I get down to Crisfield from time to time.
Yeah.
And I go into some of these shops down there, and the guys down at the boat shop, I'll think of it in a minute, but they've got photos of, you know, four, five, six guys.
Somers Cove?
No, well, no. I'll get to
yeah.
that in a second.
Yeah.
But they got pictures of the big giant red drum when they used to be
right.
here. You know, the 50, 60 pound red drum. Goldsboro Marine.
Gotcha.
You
right.
know, you go in there and you got some pictures on the wall of the big red drum. I mean, yeah. I mean, these are immense fish and it's just beautiful to see.
Yeah.
And where are they now? Where are those big red drum? Well, we've had a lot of puppy drum here recently, so those big
right.
red drum are coming.
Yeah. So. Well, it's interesting. We've had puppy drum moving up into the upper bay. Some years, good numbers of them. Some years, smaller numbers. We catch the puppy drum by accident perch fishing.
Right.
On little Mr. Twister jigs. We've seen them all the way up to the Severn. You know, so that also means that there's a chance maybe in the lower Magothy or the south. Or over
isn't
in the
minimum,
Chester River.
Isn't there minimum size on the puppies, though?
Yeah, wow.
The 15?
You got me on that one.
I think
yes.
it's 15.
Right, and you can't keep the larger ones. It's
right.
a slot limit
there's
fish.
There's a slot, yeah. Maybe
so
we can,
protected
during
the
break,
big
we can check that out.
Yeah, so. Definitely. So, you know, we're seeing those. We're seeing a few speckled trout mixing in, coming all the way up to my perch fishing areas in the Severn River. Which is pretty cool. They're hitting the little shad darts, little Mr. Twisters, little spinner baits, you know.
Anything size-wise enough to consider keeping?
Not really. I just think they're kind of cool little fish.
They are. Speckled trout.
And it's kind of fun that when you're out perching and you get something different to look at, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So we got these puppy drum and speckled trout in the system. And, you know, they are catching a few big red drum down in the lower bay. Some guys are trolling spoons. Sometimes.
And the bigger trout.
And the bigger trout.
The bigger
correct.
Speckled trout.
Bigger speckled
yeah.
trout down there.
Are we seeing
yeah.
any, gray trout, weak fish, yellowmouths?
Well, yeah,
I mean,
tide runners.
Yeah, tide yeah. man. Oh my gosh. Don't get me started
right.
on the 80, man.
Yeah.
I love the fish in those fish.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, we're not seeing a lot of them. We're seeing some signs that they're coming back a little bit in the lower bay near Point Lookout, being caught bottom fishing with bloodworms, fish bites, that sort of thing.
Okay. Hang on, Eric.
Okay.
Take a little break here, and we'll be back to do the final segment. Right now it's time for me to tell the folks about the hunting headquarters that is Clyde Sport Shop, the Browning hunting headquarters. Look, folks, we got some waterfowl guns here that Clyde's is offering from Browning. It's the A5, the most reliable, fastest cycling, best balanced, and softest shooting recoil-operated autoloader on the planet. 100,000 round or 5-year guarantee. This comes in Mossy Oak Shadow Grass Blades, Doro Touch Camo, and all the other benefits from the Browning folks, and you can't beat it. The BPS, if you like a pump shotgun, the BPS comes in 410 for squirrels if you like, 20, 12, and 10 gauges, 12 and 20-gauge rifled barrel deer models available, too, also in Mossy Oak Breakup Infinity Camo. And, you know, the bottom ejection, that's the whole thing with the BPS pump. You're not smacking your guy in the duck blind in the head with your shells when they come out. It's going right down in the bottom. And then there's the Maxis, an autoloader shotgun. It's waterfowl hunting perfection. For those of you who want to do the snow geese later on, you want to invest in a shotgun to go and shoot your one goose this year, 3 and 3.5 inch chambers, a new power drive gas system, reduces recoil. It's the Maxis. Take a look at it. It's also available in Mossy Oak Camo. All three shotguns available at Clyde Sports Shop, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, just off Beltway exit number 9. That's 410-242-6108. 24-hour fishing hotline is 247-FISH for Clyde's Sports Shop. Now, let me tell you about our buddies over there at Chesapeake Outdoors. Chesapeake Outdoors is, you know, right there off Route 50, exit 39B. That's Dominion Road. And it's on Kent Island, of course. It's the first choice for Eastern Shore hunters and anglers. Bow season is here. Started a week ago. Compound bows and crossbows from Matthews and Mission and Raven. Clearance sale on all the Hoyts. More crossbows from Ten Point, Excalibur, Carbon Express, and Barnett. Muzzleloader season, month away. Thompson Center and CVA, our buddy, CVA muzzleloaders, and all the muzzleloader accessories right there on the wall at Chesapeake Outdoors. Firearms, ammunition from Remington, Chiappa, Dove gear, ammo, decoys, buckets and chairs, camouflage, boots, hips and waders. And don't forget about their line of waterfowl calls, decoys, steel shot, all the gear and all the camo for your waterfowl adventure as well. Costa sunglasses, Yeti coolers, Rembo electric bikes, Route 50 East, exit 39B, Dominion Road. It's Chesapeake Outdoors, 410-604-2500, 410-604-2500, and we'll be right back after this.
WCBM, Baltimore.
Modest cold front coming in tonight with some sprinkles and maybe some light rain showers into early Sunday morning, but the 90s are back early next week. It has been feeling more like mid-summer than mid-September here, definitely. We're in the mid-80s this afternoon with some cloud cover keeping us in the 80s today. That's still above average. Some sprinkles tonight, low 67, partly cloudy Sunday in the upper 80s. Monday, mostly sunny and a high near 90 degrees. I'm meteorologist Scott Laurie, more from the Weather Channel for Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
This is Alan Ellis for Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex spray-on bedliners. Linex spray-on bedliners are rated number one and carry a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex spray-on bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust in your bed. Your tools, your tackle, crabbing, and hunting gear can't hurt it. Choose the Linex Premium or the Linex Extra. Both look great. Bay Linex and Catonsville Linex now offer truck gear, the toughest accessories for your truck. Step bars, tonneau covers, floor liners, grill guards, you get it. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex provide the best protection for your truck. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex bedliner and truck gear accessories. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, located at 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. 410-789-0199. 410-789-0199. Catonsville Linex. New location, 2076 Lord Baltimore Drive in Windsor Mill. Just off Security Boulevard across from Coons Ford. 410-455-0800. 410-455-0800. Linex.
Nothing is more frustrating than a dead battery. When your truck won't start or your boat or ATV leaves you stranded far from home, that's not good. The solution is Battery Warehouse. Not only does Battery Warehouse provide batteries for your car or truck, you can find marine batteries for cranking or trolling, ATV batteries, tractor batteries, motorcycle batteries, and batteries for all outdoors equipment. Did you know Battery Warehouse has batteries for wild game feeders, dog collars, cell phones, predator calls, and trail cameras? How about your video camera? Or if you tow your boat or trailer, your trailer brake control battery? Any battery you need. With 10 locations in Central Maryland, there's a Battery Warehouse convenient to you. Bel Air, Frederick, Cockeysville, Glen Burnie, Dundalk, Hagerstown, Westminster, Eldersburg, Parkville, and Woodlawn. Visit BatteryWarehouseMaryland.com online for the phone numbers and more information. When you need a hot flash, get to the Battery Warehouse
near you.
If you're a working man and your truck breaks down, you only need to know one repair shop, W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg. They built your reputation on getting you in, fixed, and out the door quickly, efficiently, and at a very competitive price. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles, large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Just look for that big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410, W&W Tire.
September is Prostate Cancer Awareness Month. Prostate cancer is a leading cause of cancer-related death in American men. It is rarely found in men under age 50. Most men with prostate cancer will survive it. However, in men under age 55, prostate cancer may be more aggressive with a worse prognosis than prostate cancer in older men. Men over age 65, those with a family history of the disease, and African American men are at higher risk for prostate cancer. Early prostate cancer often causes no symptoms. If you have concerns about prostate cancer, ask your doctor about available diagnostic tests and whether they're right for you. Treatment depends on the stage of the cancer, your age, and general health, and may include active monitoring, surgery, radiation therapy, or other methods. Talk to your doctor about which treatment is best for you. For more information about prostate cancer, visit radiologyinfo.org. That's radiologyinfo, one word, .org. This health reminder is from the Radiological Society of North America.
1 million people. That's how many people go blind each year. That's a staggering number. Hi, I'm Randall Avolio, President and CEO of SEE International. By the end of this year, 1 million men, women, and children will have gone blind. 285 million people worldwide are visually impaired, and 90% of them live in developing countries. Here's an even more sobering fact. Every 60 seconds, somewhere in the world, a child goes blind. They will live their lives unable to see the beautiful world around them if they don't get the treatment they need. Yet 80% of all these cases could have been prevented or treated. The only thing they lack is access to proper eye care. SEE International is a Santa Barbara-based nonprofit dedicated to getting them that care. All it takes is about $100 to restore someone's sight and transform their life forever. For more information, go to our website at seeinternational.org.
The world needs more heroes, more action-oriented do-gooders, more here's how I can help right-hand men and women. The world of sarcoma is no different. And if you're thinking, what is sarcoma? We're glad you're listening. Sarcoma is a rare cancer of the body's soft tissue and bone, a cancer affecting tens of thousands of Americans every year. A cancer that has more than 70 subtypes, many of which require unique treatment options at various stages of discovery. And we lose thousands of lives to sarcoma in the U.S. on a yearly basis. The Sarcoma Foundation of America partners with heroes, do-gooders, and helpers from all walks of life to advocate for sarcoma patients through funded research and widespread awareness efforts. New and more effective sarcoma therapies are out there. We just need to work together to discover them and find a cure for this cancer once and for all. Now is the time to step up and fight the good fight against sarcoma. Join forces by visiting curesarcoma.org to learn more.
And now more from Alan Ellis and the Outdoorsman Radio Show on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Keep those doors playing, man. You can just fill the rest of the hour with the doors, Albert. Fine with me. Hey, we're here with Eric Zlokovitz. Did I say it right that time?
Yeah.
All right.
I like the doors. That's excellent.
Yeah, oh, I love the doors. Yeah, yeah.
Good stuff.
Yeah, Jim Morrison joined the Dead at 27 Club.
Right.
You know, back in the day.
Yep.
So,
yeah.
But, good music while it lasted. So, they were very innovative, as a matter of fact, especially their keyboard player. So, we're talking about some weird species up here in the Upper Bay, I mean, so to speak. But the Spanish mackerel were fine, but the, you know, we talked a little bit about speckled trout coming up into the Baltimore area. We're talking about puppy drum, which we've seen. We also had a, if you remember, I'm sure you do. We had a bonita. No, what was it? What was the thing the kid in Easton caught?
Oh, well, we had a Pompano.
Pompano,
yeah,
that's right. Yeah,
that's not, a new state record, Pompano.
Not the first one I've heard of.
Right. They've been in the bay before. You know, they feed on little crabs. And
yeah.
Of course, in the ocean, they feed on sand fleas.
Right.
But when they come up in the bay, they feed on small crabs and shellfish and
right.
minnows, probably opportunistic feeders.
Of course.
Yeah, it was caught on the Stone Rock,
yeah.
which is classic, you know, middle, lower bay structure.
Stone Rock's mouth of the chop tank, isn't
That's
it?
The mouth of the chop tank. The story is that it's old ballast stone.
Right.
People have different theories, but there are a bunch of round cobble boulders there. You can bring them up by accident in your anchor sometimes. It's a famous spot for black drum fishing.
Black drum, yes.
So, you know, there's bluefish there. There's speckled trout. There used to be gray trout there. You know, I mean, there's all kinds of different fish in that area. But, yeah, Pompano.
Structure.
Structure,
I would think.
Structure
yeah.
and high salinity or
right.
medium salinity, at least. Yeah, so that's a new state record, Pompano.
Right.
That's a cool fish. It's a silver dollar permit. Looks like a permit.
It does, kinda. Yeah. Yeah, I've caught them in Florida, so there.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway.
That was a good one.
That was a good one, yep. And then the big dolphin offshore, so.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, let's talk about rockfish. Let's circle back to rockfish, okay?
Right.
So we talked to Harry Hornick in spring, right before the trophy season. And, mm-hmm. of course, then you hear the whole thing blows up when Virginia cancels its trophy
right.
season.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know.
Oh, yeah.
So we've got right. the Atlantic States Marine Fisheries Commission. Did I say that
Correct.
Right?
Atlantic States Marine Fisheries Commission.
Okay.
ASMFC.
ASMFC.
Right.
Right. It sounds like an old cigarette commercial. LSMFT, Lucky Strike, means
yeah.
fine tobacco.
Alphabet soup.
Alphabet soup, I like it.
Yeah.
So this commission kind of oversees the management of striped bass for the entire coast,
Atlantic coast.
Atlantic
right.
coast, of
right.
course. And that's, what, 13 states? I believe.
Yeah, 13, although for striped bass, it's primarily Maine through North Carolina.
Right, okay.
And it's an interstate management plan that we've had in effect since the moratorium.
Right.
Since the 80s.
Right.
And where we are now is, in August, we just had the board, the Atlantic Striped Bass Management Board. Wow, there's a lot of lingo here.
Mm-hmm.
Approves the draft addendum 6 for public comment. How do you like that? So I just wanted to say that. So it's another adjustment to our long-running striped bass management plan with all the other states, trying to get all these states, herding cats, trying to get all these states on the same page. But the big picture is we have to take a 17 to 18% reduction relative to where we were in 2017. So we do have to take some cuts.
There's going to be some cuts. Okay.
And I can tell you right now, in general terms, you know, we're going to have some adjustments either on seasons or size limits or both.
Well, that's the only way you can make a
right.
cut. Either
right.
cut the days or increase
right.
the size.
Right.
You know,
that's
so.
Like fisheries 101, right?
Yeah.
That's about all we can do.
Pretty much biology 101.
Biology 101, right.
Yeah.
So we are going to have some adjustments and some cuts. There will be hearings in September. I think you're going to be keeping your audience updated on rockfish hearings.
Yep.
Typically for major species or major thing like rockfish, it could be in Annapolis, but you'll be hearing this. It'll
sure.
we'll have some announcements on the hearings.
Yep.
If you aren't able to get to the hearings, you can send comments to DNR or to the Atlantic States Commission.
Right.
To the Atlantic States Commission, it's comments@asmfc.org.
Atlantic States Marine Fisheries Commission.
Yeah, that's the Atlantic States Marine Fisheries Commission, or you can send to DNR, fisheriespublicomment.dnr@maryland.gov. So you can send in comments by email if you
can. And
you
can always use your favorite search engine to find those.
Right.
Those search.
Yeah.
I mean, those comment sites. So
right, yeah.
It's not a tremendously difficult, even if you just mm-hmm. go to the main DNR page and click in. fisheries comments or something. You'll get a whole list of things.
Right.
Yeah.
So bottom line, some adjustment, some reduction, but still months and months of more meetings. You know, there's the commission is going to meet again in October and then again in February.
Yeah.
So we're kind of like still in the early innings of this game that, you know, this regulatory game.
Sure. And recreational guys are in limbo.
Right. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
They're in limbo because, okay, so you got a meeting in February. Well, all the flea markets are coming and gone.
I know.
You know, and it's like, okay.
Or I'm working the Pasadena show that month.
Yeah.
That's
a big
one. Right.
Okay. So do I buy trolling baits, you know, for the spring season or, you know, what's it going to be? Who knows?
I think we're looking at possibly some adjustment on the date for the spring season, a shorter one. But still having a season.
Right.
So we're going to try to get as much information out, hopefully by December, January, I would hope.
So that we can,
because of all that investment that people are considering on tackle.
Yeah.
And the shops, trolling fishery.
The shops as well.
Yeah. The shops are trying to get inventory like planer boards.
Right.
Planer board line. And in addition to all the trolling lures, parachutes, the big sheds,
that's right.
The umbrella rigs, I mean, that's a big investment. So trying to get...
Well, I can tell you, there's a lot sitting in stock in the shops that I know from this past season because it wasn't that great of a season.
No.
Can you review the past season a little bit? We're going to actually carry this conversation over in the next hour about striped bass, but can you tell us what you know about the spring trophy season this year?
Yeah, it's it was just generally slow fishing, in particular for the first week or two of the season.
Right.
I think we had some odd weather patterns where we had heavy rains followed by no rain. We had really cool water temperatures followed by a rapid spike, which is not good. You want like moderate rainfall and a moderate and like a slowly increasing temperature. We had sort of a really erratic weather, you know.
Probably had the worst weather patterns that we've ever had in a spring season.
Right.
If not the worst, one of the worst.
Right. We had boats canceling, weather problems.
And we also had spawned out fish. Fish had already spawned. The majority of fish, in my understanding, and I may be totally off base with that.
No, you're right. Yeah.
Most of the fish were already spawned. So we didn't have any incoming fish. Everybody was spawned and gone.
Right. Yeah. We had a sudden increase in temperature. Then we had fish moving down bay very quickly. So they had already spawned. And then really very slow fishing. A lot of charter guys just decided to cancel their trip and then rebook or schedule the same party, the same group in June.
Right.
Because the Bay Bridge fishing took off.
Right.
So,
exactly.
Just a slow season. You know, the only thing you can do is experiment with like different lure colors and put in your time. And if you're running into cloudy water in the upper bay, move down the bay.
Sure,
you know,
get some cleaner
go
water.
Down towards the mouth of the chop tank.
But let me ask you, everybody blames everybody else in this game.
Right.
Okay. But we have over the, I don't know if you'll agree with this, but in my personal opinion, we have overfished this fishery to some degree, not just recreationally, but commercially as well.
Right.
And not just here. Virginia, North Carolina, and other commercial entities up and down the coast have overfished the striped bass. And those fish are vulnerable. They're available, pre-spawn. And you can't take that many fish out of the fishing landscape and expect a good recruitment.
Right.
What was our Young of the Year survey? We didn't have that yet, did we?
We don't have it yet.
We will. We will soon.
That press release comes out in October.
I
really have nothing there. But you're going to probably give your listeners an update, I would think.
Oh, I have no doubt. No doubt on the Young of the Year.
So I don't know. I can't say.
Maybe we'll come back and do a striped bass program after the meetings and after the Young of the Year and find out.
Yeah, I'd be up for that.
Cool.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah. As you say, look, this is the number one economic driver on the coast. This is the number one species.
Right.
It gets a lot of fishing pressure up and down the coast. That's why we have an interstate commission, multiple states.
Right.
It's not in one little vacuum.
Right.
It's all connected. you know, we have the fishing pressure, recreational and commercial here, and also during the summer in New England. Massachusetts has a hook and line fishery on the big ones.
Massachusetts and New Jersey are the two.
Don't forget about Montauk, New York.
But those two states seem to be the
those
most
are big
vocal,
ones.
Vocal.
Correct.
And
politically
and negative.
Vocal and negative. Negative. Right.
Yeah, those two, Massachusetts and New Jersey, because, you know, they want everything.
That's their delegation, right?
Well, of course,
sure.
I mean, they're looking out for their recreational guys.
Oh, yeah, sure.
But, you know, do they eat the seed corn? have you ever heard that term? You know,
I hear what you're saying.
I mean, we used to export corn to countries that were, you know, less fortunate than we were so that they could plant it and grow their own corn crops. Well, when they're eating the seed corn, what good is that?
Right.
You're
taking away your future.
Sure. They're eating their seed corn.
Right.
So that's
right.
In my opinion, that's what those more vociferous states tend to do.
Yeah.
So, but that's me. So long term, Maryland has been the forefront in leadership of conservative harvest on striped bass.
Sure. Yeah.
I think we are because of our unique position as the estuary, as the spawning grounds.
Right.
This is it. There's not much more than this. There's other little places.
Yeah, we're the number one producer.
Right.
And even in the Chesapeake Bay jurisdiction, I would say Maryland is definitely the most important spawning area.
Right.
We contribute to something like 80 to 90% of the stock from year to year for the whole East Coast. The other ones are Delaware Bay, Hudson River, a few scattered North Carolina populations, the Roanoke and the Sounds, and a few little subpopulations in New England, which is debatable how much they contribute.
Massachusetts, you don't do anything. You're just takers.
Right, you're just
takers. In New Jersey, you have nothing to do with it. Forget it. You don't even have a voice.
Well, the Hudson River is the northernmost river that contributes a fairly significant proportion,
right?
Other than that, they probably have a lot of winter die-off in some of those northern rivers.
With the river system that we have here that feeds the Chesapeake Bay, we are the perfect spawning grounds. Always have been, probably always will be unless we really muck it up.
Correct.
You know, and so, you know, it's going to continue to be that way. So, you know, I think we should have a few, you know, extra, you know, bonus points or something when it comes to ASF, whatever, States Marine Fisheries Commission.
There you go. Right.
So, hey, well, look, there's the music. We got to get out of here for the news, but stay with us after the news, and we'll continue with this conversation. I don't know if we'll start with striped bass. We might. Or switch to something else, but we're definitely going to talk about invasives in the next
round. Yeah, we have to talk about invasive species time, right?
Yep, because, I mean, snakeheads have kicked bass off the calendar, so.
Mm-hmm.
All right, folks, there's the music. Eric Slokovitz is with us. He's going to be with us in the next hour, and we hope you're enjoying the show so far. No phone calls, of course, it's pre-recorded. But we'll be back after the news, and now it's time for me to say get out, stay out, and stay safe.